the rest of Kalos is just getting going. But Steve's night out is well and truly over, despite his friend's best endeavors to revive him.
Never underestimate your opponent. Expect the unexpected.
Well, hello, Mr. Fancy Pants. I got news for you, pal. You ain't leading but two things right now. Jack and shit. Jack left town.
I can't use Kung Fu for about 3 months.
Because if this one doesn't scare you, you're already dead. From the gates of hell, they have finally come.
Chartreuse! The only liquor so good they name a color after it.
I'm telling you straight. It's my way or the highway. So anybody wants to walk, do it now.
You kids shouldn't play so rough. Somebody's gonna start crying.
We've got entirely too many troublemakers here.
They use the satanic power of their bodies to turn men and women into their bloodstains.
I will never forgive your ass for this shit. This is a fucked up Republican shit.
Bruce Lee is gone. From the gates of hell, they have finally come.
Never underestimate your opponent. Expect the unexpected.
Oh, my poor darling. Can you forgive me for having brought you to this terrible place?
Of course, Mom.
Are you gonna bark all day, little doggy? Or are you gonna bite?
All right, Danny. I guess we'll just begin with what we just watched. Dana's been...
I've been waiting since last August for the Meat-O-Lator to come out on Blu-ray from Arrow.
So, Dana's watched this a few times, haven't you?
Yeah, well, I've not only watched it, at least... Are you talking about before I got the Blu-ray or after I got this Blu-ray? How many... I listened to the one commentary, and then I listened to most of the second commentary, and then I just watched it with Steve, and then I also watched the feature-length documentary they did. They did a real good job. I wish there was more people they could have talked to, but I guess they couldn't talk to Connie Rogers.
Yeah.
I don't know. They didn't.
Maybe you should look for the editing intern, Dana Wagman. Maybe you could talk to her.
Well, I think they said she's a songwriter or something. Not a songwriter, an author.
Gonna be a
book author.
But, oh my God, he's part of the Breakers? So did the music for this? It says he is.
Yeah, but there was something where he thought he was going to get to sing the... ball break part, the deep voice part, and I got some black guy to do it.
So, okay, well, anyway, this is the first time I've actually watched it the whole way through. I usually kind of either pass out or something from exhaustion, but
not boredom, right?
And I'm not going to say this is super exciting to me.
I love it.
I'll give my critique of the movie here in a minute, but as far as the transfer, at the beginning I was very... It didn't look too much. It looks definitely an improvement over VHS, but then...
Which is basically the only version I saw of them prior to this.
Then it came up...
1983.
Yeah. It came up, and the quality went up a little bit. I mean, it's not like on Pieces level, but it's probably a good solid B.
Steve will have to turn.
Because I just don't want to hear this 50s music.
Well, that's what Buddy Cooper wanted it to sound like.
Well, he did it.
or, told the music guy that's what kind of song.
Because that's what you want to see in a slasher, is hear 50s music.
It's like beach music, which will all probably right. go along with this.
Everybody clap.
They're going to swim in their birthday clothes, dude. All
right, I'm going to have to...
Nope.
He's going to have to mute it.
And what the fuck is a fall break?
Fall break's like school.
I know. They should have had a one called Spring Break instead of that comedy. They could
there
have had
is a movie called Welcome to Spring Break.
Yeah, but that's Italian. That's I think that's Lindsay in it.
Or, I can't remember.
But
I think I have it.
I have kind of have it. Okay. Anyway, the transfer, like I said, it's probably a solid B. I got pieces. I guess is the A plus for
yeah,
right
but
now.
You have to think about how bad pieces look prior to a Blu-ray.
I think the DVD that was released looks pretty damn good to me.
Mm.
I mean, it looks better than the public domain from the Brentwood set looked good to me. And then, of course, I mean, it wasn't perfect or anything, but then the step up to Grindhouse's DVD,
mm-hmm.
and then a huge increase in clarity and quality in the Blu-ray. But, like I said, again, this one is a B transfer. It's got some really good details in it. Like Dana was saying to me that, you know, there's a lot of parts that were too dark, and then now you can see what's going on and see some of the gore effects.
Well, that Mark Shostrom did, and he did a really good job on the effects for this.
But, okay, for my critique of the movie, I mean, I unfortunately I'm not going to sit here and say it's great. Dana will. But I
it's
mean,
very entertaining.
Okay.
What do you think about the crap that's out now?
Okay, but that's not what you. I mean, I'm just you gotta judge it based upon other slashers, and I just don't see any.
Okay, other.
The beginning of it's. I mean, that part was like freaky, and then we flash forward to this other part, and then and it's like, I have a drunken shitty dad who's passed out on in the work shed or in the garage. And then goes killing all his kids' friends.
Steve's question was, why did his dad wait so long to want to kill
him? If he wanted to kill a motherfucker, he should have killed him initially. But I don't know. But, you know, Dana loves this movie, so I'm not going to say too much about it.
I've loved it ever since I rented it.
You heard about, we're going to do a fall break. We're going to take a fall break.
No, I saw that. The VHS cover that had the people hanging on the...
Yes, and then you books. Have that, don't you?
I don't have that poster, that version.
No, nah, she
I
got
the fall break.
I thought that would be the one you'd want, so I got you that one.
I know, I like both of them.
Oh, I got
and this one signed.
Wait a second, don't I have the Mutilator poster myself?
I think you do. I think you have...
Oh,
what people are most familiar with.
Jeez, I don't even know what I got because I ain't looked at my posters in a while.
Then, yeah, I believe Steve's got the Mutilator, and
yeah.
I got the Fall Break that's signed by Buddy Cooper. He got it for me.
I don't know where I got that one. I mean, I obviously got it off eBay or one of those other sites, but whatever. All right, but I haven't seen the special features. Like Dana said, the documentary. I mean, to me, there are certain the making of documentaries can actually save a purchase for me. Like, I got that Halloween crap from Rob Zombie
yeah.
just for the making of documentary, which is an hour, 2 hour long. I think it's 2 hours long. I find that more infinitely entertaining than the
and
fucking movie.
Well, and From Dusk Till Dawn is not a bad movie by any stretch of the imagination.
But
you have that Full Tilt Boogie documentary, which is awesome, I think.
Yeah, that's more of like, hey, it's going on at the same time and stuff like that. It's not really a making of, but still, it's close enough. Okay, so Mutilator, Dana's going to give it like 50 million thumbs up.
I'm going to be like Kyle.
I'm going to say if you want it.
10,000 stars.
But if you like. I mean, if you like slashers, and then this is another one. That's the only thing I can say.
Well, okay, when you say it's not great, are you comparing it with other 80s slashers?
Yeah.
Okay.
I mean, I like Mad Men more than this.
Oh, God.
I swear to God, I do.
Wes will love you.
The Burning, that's infinite times
probably
better.
Maybe The Burning.
And then even like some of the Friday the 13th I would want to watch before this.
But I just thought this was fun and gory and, you know, at the point that I started renting a lot of these, I hadn't seen a true gore film yet. And then when I started renting these, it was like, wow, there's a whole other, I guess, subgenre out there.
Okay, well, let's go back to last night and what I like to call
the pass out time.
Yeah,
Steve?
That's what happens now, because I have to ask Dana what happens in the movie, because I go over to the recliner and I pass out about.
Well, heck, I don't even know what happened at the end of that. I wasn't paying that much.
Well, there's no way he's talking about it then. It was one of these weird Italian movies dubbed into German with English subtitles.
Oh, it was the one that had all the nudity.
It was
sex,
like Belitha, Demon of Incest, is about.
Yeah, the brother and sister like screaming every 5 seconds.
And then there was
like
a killer going around with like a. It looked like those garden hook things where you dig up the dirt, and that's what was going. The killer was using. So anyway, we have
no
idea.
That's what the killer used on the initiation.
Well, anyway, I guess we'll skip that one because we didn't see it. The other movie I watched today was that Jess Franco's Count Dracula. And
I saw some of it.
I know this recently came out on Blu-ray, and I watched more of a DVD transfer of it. As far as the actual entertainment of it, I mean,
Franco.
It's not that it's like hard to follow or surreal stuff.
No.
This he got Christopher Lee to play Dracula again, and he really didn't want to do it. But I think that they said they were going to be more true to the novel than other versions. And
well, how did he get Christopher Lee to do it?
That's what I just said.
Oh, because they said it was going
to. He was going to do it more close to the novel than other.
Because
at the beginning of the movie, Christopher Lee looks a lot older and stuff, and then as he feeds on more blood, he gets younger looking. But. Yeah. And then this cast is, I mean, you got Klaus Kinski playing Renfield.
Which, I have to agree with Steve, that was great casting.
Herbert Loom is,
Herbert Loom was on it?
He was playing Dr. Van Helsing. I mean, that's really good. He reminded me of more when I, Anthony Hopkins doing it in Coppola's version.
And old Jack Taylor was in it.
Jack Taylor's in it. And, that's about. Like I say, Jess Franco's in it a little bit, of course.
Yeah.
And, Soledad Miranda, or Meridia, she is, like, super gorgeous. And she would have.
Whatever, I didn't see her.
She was in that other movies, like Vampire Lesbos and She Killed in Ecstasy. We watched those. At least one of those.
I thought you did. I don't
Well, anyway, those new Blu-rays that Severin came out with. But anyway, definitely, the story was okay, but it was just like, I don't know, some parts of it just did, that's kind of stale. But
at least it wasn't orgies every 5 seconds.
Well, that would have been, I would have paid more attention, but.
That's usually what a Jess Franco movie is, other than Bloody Moon.
But, anyway, so, the new movie that opened this weekend that a lot of people will be going on, yeah, The Witch, which we went and saw today.
It opened to mixed reviews from what I could tell. I mean, the critics were kind to it, but the
yeah, there's a lot of people looking, and I know Dana was going like, Stephen King said it's the scariest movie he's ever seen.
Well, he said it scared the hell out of him.
And
I thought, well, that's an endorsement.
To me, it wasn't that. I mean, I wasn't scared, but I mean, it's very low key movie, and it's very and it's hard to because it takes place back in the, I would say, in the 1600s when they came over. But I was trying to figure out what they were because they were talking about Jehovah, so I don't know if that meant
somebody said they were Scottish.
Well, they talk about going to England.
Going back to England.
Well, they talked about Jehovah, or they sang a song about Jehovah. Then they talk about baptism. So it's like, I don't know about Jehovah's Witness getting baptized. That don't sound right.
But
so.
I don't think I'm giving anything away by saying this. The only thing I didn't understand about the movie is why they left England in the first place.
For religious. That's what everybody left England for
were
religious.
They persecuted
for, yeah.
Okay.
I mean, that's what I assume. But, so, basically, you begin at the movie, and this family is, you know, kind of leaving this colony behind, and they pick up a part of land and build a house and then farm and all.
And they're trying to make their, you know, they're having a hard time, really.
Right. And then, of course, that old lady, man, she was too old to have kids, but she was having a little baby.
I thought that, yeah, she had a little baby.
And then, in the trailers, you see the young girls playing peekaboo with the baby, and then one time she opens her eyes up and the baby's gone.
Mm-hmm.
And so they let you know what happened to the baby pretty clearly. And it ain't a pretty thing. And then from there it just gets worse. And I
thought the one part where the brother came into contact with the witch, it was sort of like a fairy tale thing.
Well, to be honest with you, it was hard to tell. I don't know. It's hard to say. For a while there, I mean, obviously, it didn't seem like it was a dream or.
But it had a dreamlike quality to it, and it's supposed to be based on folk tales and fairy tales from that time period.
Well, I mean, yeah.
Which I don't know what people were expecting if you go to something that's supposed to take place that far back.
Well, the thing was to me that the language used was that all that English language, and it was kind of...
Well, some people said that the audio was so low at the theaters they went to that they couldn't hear. It sounded like they were mumbling. But we could hear
it was... I don't know. I'm not going to say it was great, but it was okay.
Watchable.
There was nothing wrong with it. And I mean, it's definitely
although, I don't think that they should have put so much emphasis on it being a horror movie. And I think
that's marketing.
Did.
But, I mean, what would you call it then if it's not a horror movie? It's called The Witch.
Yeah,
I mean,
I know, but it wasn't horrific. You know what I'm saying?
Well, this is a slow burner, and a lot of stuff happens in the third act, or fourth, whatever you want to call it, the last act.
Yeah, and I think
everything went up.
A lot of people got mad. Because
and people were saying that, I was reading something about that the third act or something, or, you know, the last part of the movie, last 10 minutes or so, almost ruined the movie. And I was like, no, not to me.
Why would that? I don't know why that would... And somebody also said that there were no jump scares in it. I thought that one scene...
Yeah, but
was
don't give it away.
I'm not, but I thought it was a little bit of a jump scare.
It didn't jump me, though. I don't know why. I think if they had kept it a little bit more in the dark, and then you didn't see everything, and then that did happen, that would have been...
That might have been better.
Yeah.
But... I by no means did I think it was a horrible movie or a boring movie.
The guy, the father guy, had a voice. It reminded me of the guy who did all the voiceover in the middle of Honor Games back in the '90s. I know it's probably not him, but he could do the new ones if they ever decide to remake it.
And Steve liked the the teenage.
Yeah,
Steve, I guess she was teenage.
Yeah, well, she looked it.
Daughter, Steve said she had
pretty eyes,
real pretty eyes, and she did have beautiful eyes and pretty lips. She had those curved lips.
She had, her complexion was really like. She had, I mean, to me, I just think she's a little older because her complexion was no blemishes, no nothing, and there was no makeup hardly. I mean, if there's makeup on her, it had to be, you know, some kind of, you know, something that made you look like you didn't have makeup on. Because that old lady that was playing her mom looked rough.
Yeah, I was thinking the same thing that Steve said earlier. That woman was too old to be having.
She looked 50. She
had four kids already, and then a baby. But back in those days, I guess they had...
They had to have kids to fucking work the fucking farm. But, I mean, if you're if you want to see something in the theaters, I guess that's better than, you know, some other crap you could watch.
Somebody was comparing it to Blair Witch, where they said it wasn't exactly like Blair Witch, but
yeah.
I didn't think it was anything like Blair Witch.
Well, I mean, it's like, the only thing it could be like a Blair Witch movie, it was like a prequel to Blair Witch, but other than that, but, I mean, I guess it's okay. I'll just have to, I mean, I'll give it a pass, but I mean, I
don't feel like that, maybe Steve feels like he wasted his money, because he's the one to pay for the tickets, but,
I don't know, but
I don't feel like it was a waste of money or a waste of time or anything like that. You know, when I went to see the Evil Dead remake, I thought that was a waste of money and a waste of time, and that's an hour and 45 minutes or whatever I will never get back.
I thought it was all right.
Well, of course you did, but...
I thought it was fine. Yeah. But anyway, so we're going to pick another movie and watch it, so... That'll probably be the big movie is the release of Mutilator for You and in mm-hmm. The Witch. So,
yeah.
Well, I think we'll call it Two Against the Mutilator Witch.
The Mutilated Witch.
Yeah. But we'll be back after something, something.
Bye.
Something.
So why did you take him out and dump him? Don't we have enough trouble in these experiments without taking a chance on a murder charge? All we did was get this guy some turkey.
It was only at 24 hours.
Okay.
So, watched a giallo kind of movie. It was The Girl in Room 2A. I can't...
With Rosalba...
She's in a... not in a major role,
no,
but...
No, she's a lot older.
Well, she's not a lot older, but she's... But, I'm trying to remember who put this out, like Mondo Macabre or... Somebody put this out on DVD. I don't even think they put it out on with English track, but we watched the transfer. It had an English track on it.
Mm-hmm.
It was okay, but it really nothing special.
I tried to follow it, but sometimes
it looked like there was this group of people who just wanted to torture women.
Basically, yeah. I remember like. What, this was the one that had the hooded
person. Red and hooded.
Red, red,
yeah.
Hood. They were whipping women. And
yeah. And I think Dana, I think we watched something else, but I can't remember what it was.
We'll probably remember it later on.
I doubt it. But, sorry.
Bizarre.
It's a bizarre movie. I mean, they got this guy. He's like a. I don't know if he's.
What was he in prison for?
Well, he's getting sentenced. He's getting electrocuted to death mm-hmm. in the electric chair, probably murder or yeah. something. Anyway, after he dies, this woman comes in who's I guess she's supposed to be Satan or something.
Mm-hmm.
She basically will bring him back to life, but he has to. Rape and murder in her name and has to carve 666 on their body somewhere.
And by rape, we don't just mean women. Like,
no, everybody.
He rapes a gay guy. And,
yeah, I think the first one he does rape the gay guy first and then he goes on to women.
And I'm not, you know, I'm not saying anything against gay people. I like gay people as well as I do straight people. But this guy in this movie was like overly gay, flamboyant. Very
yeah, well,
flamboyant.
There's also another one that was... Yeah, Mexican cinema probably was a little bit more stereotyped. And plus, this was like the late 80s.
Mm-hmm.
And every once in a while, the Lady Satan person will come in with these crazy outfits on.
And she changes her look all the time.
Yeah, I think
she always looks different.
Yeah, but I mean it's, and then plus the main the guy she brings back, the evil guy who rapes and murders, he looks Japanese even though he's Mexican.
Yeah, he looks like an Asian Mexican.
Yeah. And weird. This is it's a very weird movie.
And I mean the infernal rapist, it sounds like you shouldn't be laughing, but I found myself laughing at this a lot because it was so insane. Those crazy Mexicans.
Yeah, well, he also does a lot of drugs. That's another thing. He likes he wants to have drugs, and he wants to
make the whoever he's with, whether it's a gay guy or a woman or whatever, he wants them to do drugs with him in the name of Satan or something.
Yeah, so it's totally ridiculous craziness.
And if they won't, he wants to kill them and then rape them.
Yeah, it's ridiculous craziness. So I watched this Blu-ray I've had for a while. It's called The Thirst. I think it's put out by Severin. It's an Australian movie. It's got David Hemming, Henry Silva's in it, and I can't think of anybody else that are offhand. But apparently this chick is like a descendant of Elizabeth Bathory, and they have this like commune where these people are like
cult or whatever.
They're like vampires, but you know, they don't have any.
They don't like turn.
And they can go in daylight, but they don't have no teeth. And they have like these ceremonies where they'll put in these metal teeth, vampire teeth, and then bite and drink the blood.
And they have these people. I guess they're not as fortunate as they are.
They're basically just there for blood.
Pals, that's what they call them.
Yeah, this blood. I know I got this DVD. Synapsis was selling a bunch of DVDs for $50. Five movies for $50. This was one of them from Wasteland, like 6 or so years ago.
But you got this from your buddy Wes.
Yeah, it's one of his very few generous things, gifts he ever gives me.
He gave me the
Pete Walker.
Yeah, the
stuff.
Pete Walker collection, which I need to watch the rest of those.
Mm.
I'm a big Pete Walker fan.
But yeah, I mean, so it's it's interesting. I didn't watch any of the extras yet, but I mean, as far as the transfer, I'd give it like a B.
Yeah, that's what I thought too.
I mean, I can't think there was a few scenes where it was kind of flat, but everything else was really detailed, and the movie itself, I guess maybe
it was interesting.
2.5 out of 5 stars. I mean, so it wasn't awful, but it didn't really knock my socks off, even, you know.
I just thought it was interesting the way they handled the whole vampirism.
Yeah, I mean, this one was a weird, because it came out in 79. It's the same year that the Dracula remake came out, and then a few other, I mean, you had other movie, well, Salem's Lot. Mm. I mean, a lot of these, and then this one.
Which, I'd rather, if I had a choice between watching that and Salem's Lot, of course I'd watch Salem's Lot, but.
Yeah, but I mean, this movie was, like you say, it handled the vampire stuff differently.
Yeah, that's what was interesting and made me want to keep watching it.
So, I'd say it's worth a watch. I don't know. Just depends if you want to buy it, get it cheap, I would say.
Yeah, don't spend a ton of money on it or anything. But
I also heard that the, well, doesn't surprise me that the Friday the 13th, you know, the big collector's edition.
Of part 3?
No, of all of them.
Well, what was it that Chris Boyd got? He got something and he wanted
to. It was a lithogram. It's probably an album or something.
Oh, okay. I thought
but
it was
I'm talking about the Crystal Lake set with all the movies.
Oh, okay.
That's out of print. So,
it's out of print now.
Which doesn't surprise me because, I mean, it's been a few years.
Oh, yeah.
And then I think there's something like $200 on eBay for them, which I don't know. It's a lot, but I don't know. I would expect more now. But
well, lucky we got ours.
Yeah, I got mine a little cheaper, but, you know.
But I did get a new Blu-ray in, but I haven't had a chance to watch it yet. So I'll have to give my review of it later. But I got The Brood in, the Criterion collection version.
Well, I got Gilda, the Criterion version. I'm going to watch that tomorrow.
Steve suggested that I get Art Hindle to sign The Brood.
Yeah.
When we go to Horror Ham. Because unfortunately, as you may or may not have heard, Ted Raimi canceled once again. Horror Ham.
Well,
he's going to be in New Zealand filming Ash vs. Evil Dead.
He better take the work as he gets it. Because, I mean, if his brother ain't getting the work, I don't know who is.
So. Well, that may be true, but, like, I told Steve, I said, I still have great respect for the Raimis, but they don't venture out of L.A. too much anymore.
The Raimis.
Yeah, the Raimi bros. They don't...
Godly bros.
The godly bros. But anyway.
So, we'll pick another movie here and see if we can get through it.
So. Yeah, we've got watermelon Rockstar energy drinks.
Yeah.
We're going to get wild and crazy on those.
Wild and crazy for probably 90 minutes and I'll pass out
for
sleep.
Steve, it'll be more like 5 or 10 minutes and it'll be...
I'll be all right. So, we'll be back after this.
Bye.
Can
talk about something I watched by myself.
Well, we did a commentary for Scalps, which is the first time I've ever seen that.
And you don't need to ever
see it. No, don't need to see that ever again.
But I told Steve he had free reign on what we did the commentary if he'd just do a commentary with me, and so he said Scalps, so I said, okay.
Well, they're actually putting that out on Blu-ray, I think. Now, how in the hell can they clean that up?
They can.
I mean, Hollywood Chainsaw Hookers looks good, but this thing was made even before then. It looks rough. But anyway, we watched another movie after that. It was kind of a real low budget movie. It's called The Other Side of Midnight or Dark Side of Midnight or something. It was like low.
Dark Side of Midnight.
What was his name? Brock Johnson or something?
Yeah, I think that the guy that played that character was the director.
Yeah, so it was like a real low-budget kind of...
And there were lots of mustaches.
Yes, there was too many mustaches.
The mustaches.
This probably had to be filmed like in the Midwest, up maybe Wisconsin or someplace like that. But
Sam, you need to get in here.
But it was... there was a creeper. He was a killer.
Yeah.
Going around killing women who... I guess didn't want to go out with him or something. I can't remember what the hell it was.
I can't even remember now. I just remember mustaches.
Yeah, so that was a bad one.
And there were, these had to be some fake mustaches too, because some of them looked weird. They were real thin on one side and kind of bushier on the other side. It was strange.
Also, I did check out the HD transfer for Dracula Has Risen from the Grave.
And that looked really, really good. The movie itself, you know, it's not the best, but it was better than I remembered. I think there's another one called Taste the Blood of Dracula, which I have to watch that one because one of them was really bad, and I can't, you know, this one was okay, so I can't determine if that's the one I didn't like or is bad or not, but both of those came out on Blu-ray recently. Shoot.
And I got the Criterion Blu-ray of The Brood, and this is going to kind of segue into another movie I watched if Steve doesn't care if I
go. Tangent, Dana.
It's not a tangent.
Go.
Okay. So, anyway, I thought the transfer for the Criterion Blu-ray of this was pretty decent. The only thing I was disappointed with was the extras, because I figured they would have a commentary with Cronenberg or something, which I thought would have been cool, or at least they could have got Art Handle and that the Cindy, whatever her name is, that played the little girl in it. I don't know why they couldn't have got them two to do a commentary, but anyway, there was no commentary whatsoever on here, but there was an interview that they did with her and Art Handle, and she mentioned a movie called Deadline that was actually filmed in like 1980 but didn't come out until 84. So she was around the same age as she was in The Brood.
Brood was like 80, I thought.
Well, this was filmed in... Oh, Deadline was filmed in like 80 and didn't come out till 84. But gotcha. Anyway, it sounded like it was going to be really good because she was talking about and saying it was really bloody and had hangings and all kinds of stuff in it. And so I asked Steve if he had it, and he did. So I watched it one night, and I really wish I hadn't. Because for an older movie, usually older movies aren't this bad, but all the characters were awful in it. They were obnoxious. Even the kids were obnoxious. The only one that wasn't obnoxious was the little girl from The Brood. And she didn't have a lot to say, and she ended up getting killed off pretty quick. But the little boys on there, one of them started saying motherfucker and called his dad a motherfucker. And I was like, what in the world? And the wife hated the husband. Evidently, he had fooled around with her when she was in college classes, and he was the professor. And she was talking about dropping her knickers for him. And I don't know. It was crazy. And I thought there was going to be some actual real killings, but very few of the killings were actually supposed to be happening. A lot of the stuff was in the writer's mind. He was writing this book, and they were turning his books into screenplays, and he would have to be on the set of these movies, and they were all movie people that are super obnoxious, and it droned on and on, and I won't give it away what happens at the end.
Yeah, because we don't want to miss out on a 30-year-old movie.
In case somebody does want to watch it, I don't want to give away the last part. But just not a very good movie overall. Not well executed in any sense of the word. I guess it could have been better, maybe in better hands. But it just a horrible, horrible movie. I wouldn't recommend it. And I don't know that Steve's seen it.
I have movies that I haven't even seen, but I have them in my hard drives.
Well, and I told Steve, I said, I don't think you ever need to see this movie ever because it was that bad. Okay, that's all I got.
There you go.
Yeah.
Well, I made an order. Yeah, I think it was Tuesday. I ordered from Diabolica. A bunch of Severin put out a Blu-ray of a bunch of Kung Fu trailers.
Oh yeah, I think Steve told me
nothing. So I got that, and I was hoping I'd get my Tenebrae still book. I see everybody else getting it, but I don't know.
Well, people got their, you know, Mutilator stuff and Blood Rage stuff before I did too. So
I don't know.
How they do it, I don't know.
I mean, I imagine it's first serve, first, you know, thing, but I did pay, and they got taken out of my account, so Hopefully I'll get it in the next week. If I don't get it next week, I'm going to have to email and just see what's the deal.
Yeah, what's up with that?
I mean, what's up with that? What's up with that? What's up with that? That's about it. I mean, can't think of anything else. So,
rewatched Almost Famous again on Blu-ray, the bootleg, like the official bootleg or director's.
I got the
cut.
Blu-ray of that. Do you have it?
Mm-hmm.
Oh. Well,
we both do.
We both. But we'll be back after we watch some more.
Bye.
Bootleg. Didn't tell you what happened when I drove home today.
When you drove home from work?
Yeah.
Was it bad?
No, it was that these two vaping lesbians were playing race cars and during traffic on the way home.
Vaping lesbians?
Yeah.
There was, like, they weren't in the same car. They were like, oh, okay.
One was in a truck. Stopped at the light, and all of a sudden, this big meth white cloud came out, and I was like, bitch is vaping, and then the bitch behind me was doing it, and then they had to be behind each other, so the one behind me had to race around and pull right in front of me, and then they did that the whole way up there, and they were sticking their hands out, doing all kinds of waving and shit. It's stupid.
My toe's still sore.
Yeah, I'm sorry.
That's beside the point. Steve was grabbing my toe.
She stuck at my ass and I clenched.
I did not.
Steve
better be careful. He's going to offend people that vape.
I don't care. Just saying, that's what it was. There's a probably small minority of lesbians who vape.
No, I just meant you were going to offend just people that vape. Not
whatever.
Lesbians.
It's coming
Steve's
to a point where
into vaping.
It's coming to a point where that looks like some people, they act like it's like a lifestyle, and I have to vape.
Yeah, well,
you know what, vaping?
That's crazy.
You should be vaping to wean yourself off of it completely. That's
yeah,
what,
but
you
now
don't,
they try to make it hip to
yeah,
to
it's
vape.
Like it's almost some people are doing it like hipsters, and it's just like give me an effing
it's
break.
It's not hip to be square, but hip to vape or something.
Yeah,
they're gonna make a new song.
But anyway, watched this one Jell-O that I hadn't watched. Didn't hear it was that good, and pretty close. It's not that good, but. It's a weird one. It's called The Scorpion with Two Tails. I think
Steve tried to watch it the other night, I think.
I just wanted to see what it was. It came out from like Maya Communications, who I don't even think they're around anymore, but they came out with a few releases. They got that...
yeah, you got something else of theirs.
Well, I got that... was it
Doorway to Darkness or something, that Argento TV series.
Oh, okay.
That was about their best release.
But I thought you had something else.
I've got a few other ones, but they're not like something, you know, very recognizable. But this is a weird one. It's got something to do with, I don't know, ancient curses or something.
And guess what? They stole the music from City of the Living Dead.
Yeah, they have the music from all kinds of stuff in this. But yeah, that's pretty recognizable. They, John Saxon's in it for, I would say, a good...
2 seconds.
Good, I would say almost 5 minutes. Until the killer in this movie gets a hold of people and he twists their head backwards.
Yeah.
And we get to see that at least, I think, 3 to 4, 5 times.
Hey, sure, it's good.
It is. So...
This channel that me and Steve watch sometimes is having George Candy night, evidently.
Yeah, not his good movies.
No, I don't even know what this one is.
It's a Nightmare at Noon.
Oh, okay.
I think Riff Trax did a version of this.
This is the one I've seen.
Unless there's another
Bo Hopkins. Wings Hauser in this
suit? Unless there's another Bo Hopkins Wings Hauser joint.
I didn't think that was Bo Hopkins there.
Didn't think that was a series. But anyway, the chick is his wife, and she's like the main chick, and it's got a lot of supernatural stuff, and then this big thing happens near the end. And then you think that's going to be the end of it, but no, it keeps going.
And it ends in New York City, doesn't it?
I'll be honest, I done forgot.
I think it did.
But anyway, that's where Manhattan Baby, it takes over.
Yeah. It's like the best thing that happened in that movie was they stole the music from City of the Living Dead, and it kind of made me want to go back and watch that, but...
Watched Exorcismo, or whatever the heck it's called, with Paul Naschy from like 74. And it's a weird one. It's almost like the first...
they ripped off some stuff from The Exorcist.
Well, it's an exorcism movie, so...
Yeah.
But they... it's called Exorcism.
And then they ripped off stuff that reminded me of that movie Ruby.
I don't know when that came out, so I don't know if they ripped it off.
Oh, well,
but
maybe,
might have, but.
Maybe Ruby ripped them off. The part where she was up on the bed, like...
Well, that's... I mean, yeah.
That could be The Exorcist, too, but also...
This is more like the first 90% of it is freaking like a giallo, and then the 10% at the very end, if not less, is The Exorcism.
Yeah.
I mean, we're talking about the last 7 minutes
where
of the movie.
Where she totally goes full on possessed. And
she goes full. She goes full on Reagan.
Yeah, Pazuzu Reagan. And no, she wasn't Pazuzu.
No, she wasn't that hot.
And then like puked all over her bed, although it looked like crap all over the bed and all over.
She had good contacts. I mean, it covered her whole eyeballs. That shit looks painful.
It's probably those sclera lenses.
I mean, they're probably real, back in 74, it's probably like real glass or something.
Yeah. Well, that's what the stuff that they used on, like, Evil Dead and Evil Dead 2.
But eyeballs are hurting.
Where you're practically blind, you can't see anything.
It looks like crazy Jeff Bridges.
He looks like Charles Manson.
Yeah, it looks like Jeff Bridges now.
Oh, well, yeah.
But anyway.
He's taking off in the damn cop car. This wasn't a trauma movie, was it?
No.
Okay.
I don't know.
It's about as crazy. Trauma didn't release it or anything at any time.
I don't think so. This is about the best I've seen it. Maybe the riff tracks. But, let's see. Still on my lookout for Tenebrae Steelbook that everybody else is getting.
But you did get something in today.
Yeah, I'll be watching that tomorrow. The next day, it's Severin put out a 2-hour plus Blu-ray of a load of Kung Fu trailers.
Which Steve will get some more ideas for some movies to watch.
Maybe. We'll see. Potty Old Ray showing all of them.
Probably.
I wish,
They'll have Five Finger Death Punch or whatever the heck that is.
That's a group.
I know, but didn't they have something like...
No, they had the Five Fingers of Death.
Well, whatever.
Which is,
I don't claim to know everything which is about King Kung
Boxer.
Fu.
Which is King Boxer.
Okay.
That's where they got that music from Kill Bill.
Yeah.
That's where they got
that.
Yeah.
Okay.
She's in there getting a flashback.
Can you watch it before? And I said, hey, that's that music from there.
I don't know. Yeah, I've watched it before. I thought I had the DVD of it, but who knows.
Steve still got a bunch of Bruce Lee stuff that I got him on Blu-ray that he hadn't watched all of it.
Yeah, I need to watch a little more, but I got stuff planned, at least in my head, I want to watch.
He's got sponge rollers in.
Yeah, that's real attractive. So, thinking of something else, I heard that, speaking of, I'm bringing up Manhattan Baby, Code Red's putting that on Blu-ray.
Oh, must we talk about Code Red?
Yeah, because that's...
We shouldn't even give them any...
It's just, that's insane.
Any credit at all.
Of why in the world do we need Manhattan Baby?
Manhattan Baby's not even that great of a movie.
I mean, I've seen it once. I've got the DVD, and I've only watched it once or twice. But...
Although, that's a Fulci movie, right?
Yeah.
Well, it's still better than The Devil's Honey or whatever.
Yeah.
Odd. Well, I don't know about...
Dana had the divorce papers written up for that one.
No. I just didn't... That wasn't classic Fulci anything.
But,
it was just sex and sleaze, and I didn't really think that's what Fulci was about, but I thought he was about...
Well, that's... Thinking about late 80s.
Of course,
so.
I didn't watch that Doorway into Silence or whatever the heck that was supposed to be that awful movie he did. Probably one of the last movies he did, if not the last.
I watched that. That was horrible.
It was bad.
It was not as bad as like Red Monks, which is that's completely hardly. That's really.
He did that one too.
He either directed it or he did a Fulci Presents, which that makes it even worse because some of the stuff he. I mean, you're presenting crap.
I got so tired though of seeing people present, like even Tarantino when it's Tarantino Presents whatever.
Hostel.
He didn't do that.
Yeah, he did.
Oh God. Well, yeah.
And he did Hell Ride. Which is, I like Hell Ride, I don't care.
Well, who did Hell Ride?
That old Bishop guy that was in Larry Bishop. You know,
Larry Bishop did that?
Yeah.
Well,
I mean, I'll be honest, it's a bad movie, but it's a fun movie to watch. I don't know why.
Wes Craven did some presenting stuff, and a lot of that was garbage, and I mean, I don't even know why they want to put their name on.
Because they get money out of it. That's really the only reason.
Well, I wish they wouldn't. Because some people just assume because it's got their name on it.
Yeah.
And I was one of those people that assumed that for a while until I figured out how shitty a lot of that
stuff. Wes Craven did a few movies like that. I think there was at least one of them that was decent, but I can't remember which one it was. But, so, I guess we'll take a break and then we'll...
Because I can't quit yawning.
Yeah. And we'll be back after something or other.
Bye.
So,
I watched most of this movie before I fell asleep. It's a TV movie from 1977 called Exo Man. And it's like
it's like a very low rent Iron Man.
Right. They actually used some of the scenes when they were making like a 70s Avengers. They were like the Incredible Hulk, the 70s Captain America, and then this guy was and the guy gets paralyzed because he is going to testify against
these bank robbers.
Bank robbers, and they break his back, and he's got some kind of metal that he can do something to it and make it move. So he
can walk again.
Yeah, so he gets up in the suit, but the torso of the suit looks like a big, like a oil barrel kind of thing. It looks very weird.
And I thought it looked like the whole, whatever you call it, looked like something off a 50s sci-fi movie, the creatures on there.
Yeah, but I remember seeing this one as a kid. I don't know if I saw the original broadcast, but I either saw the original or a repeat of it. And they used to show it, you know, on weekend afternoons.
Steve, probably little Steve was probably like, oh, that's cool.
Yeah. Big Steve falls asleep with two dogs on him.
Yeah.
But we watched this Russian horror movie.
Yeah, it wasn't really good.
I can't even pronounce it. It starts with a P.
Yeah.
Someone give me a P. It's
not a lot happened in it.
No, it was made in 1992, but it looked like it could have been made in the early 80s. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of talking and...
supernatural.
Yeah, I mean, this...
And not good supernatural.
They found a mother and a son dead, and the cop...
Yeah, I thought it was going to be better, because that beginning thing was kind of creepy.
And the cop visits the sister, and basically she says that their father's been haunting them and wanting them to kill themselves and all this stuff.
It's kind of cultish.
Cultish?
Yeah, it's like there's a cult. Like, their dad keeps appearing, and there's this weird picture of him, too.
Yeah. Everybody gets headshots before they die so they can put the pictures...
Yeah, on their graves.
And picture frames on their graves. But it really gets really... more nuts in the last 25 minutes. I mean, a couple things happened that make no sense, but, you know.
I guess they thought, well, we better do something.
Yeah, nothing's happened for the last hour or so, so we're going to do something off the...
Seriously, it was about 50 minutes to an hour before anything really started happening.
Yeah, but...
And it was only an hour and 31 minutes or something like that.
And then I showed Dana one of the Santo movies, and of course... She wanted to see one of the horror entries, so it was Santo and the Blue Demon versus the Monsters.
I don't know. What can I say about this? It was so wacky and off the wall.
Yeah, there was a midget hunchback.
And there was a mummy creature and a vampire creature.
Wolfman, who just looked like he had a...
Looked like some crazy dude with long...
Looked like a homeless guy with big teeth and a beard.
And he kind of went around going, ah, like the... Frankenstein monster, I thought.
And there's only two wrestling scenes in the whole movie, which is unusual.
They had the same crowd at both wrestling.
Well, they're regulars.
Oh, okay.
But.
And this woman in a blue sweater, her voice sounded like a man.
I was watching, speaking of something like that, on YouTube, there's mostly everything, but this some guy had made an animated Star Trek thing. He's made three of them, and all three of them are at least 3 hours long.
3 hours?
Yeah.
That's long.
And pretty much he does all the voices, so they'll have like a woman talking, it'll be him, then that guy, and that's weird. He doesn't change his voice at all. But there's obviously more than one. I think, I'm pretty sure there's at least another guy who does voices, and I was like, what the fuck? But anyway, and he'll have him talking to himself.
Like, he'll be doing two characters that are talking to each other.
Right.
Anyway. Yeah, there's three of these. If you want to look at one, it's you can get on YouTube and search for Star Trek Spectre. I think it the Spectre with an O-R at the end. And
I'll bring up the first one if you want to check it out. I was...
They should also tell that what else he found on
YouTube. Oh, Carlos Green?
Yeah, good old Carlos Green.
Don't mess with Carlos Green.
He'll mess you up.
Yeah, Carlos Green. But yeah, you don't want to mess with him.
Steve's been watching videos of Pepper's
Farm. Yeah, our video will be on there soon. It'll be dropping.
But... yeah, I was watching some fan films and some other things on YouTube. They actually have a movie, the Donovan Pass or movie is on there, and I mean that's a kind of a really decent found footage movie, I thought. But yeah, it's on there if you search for it enough, and there's all kind of, YouTube. You don't, I mean, sometimes you don't even need anything. YouTube has almost everything, at least until they find it and get rid of it. But
I don't think YouTube's doing that a lot these days. It doesn't seem like they're pulling as much stuff as they did.
Oh, Duncan Peasant showed 18 seconds of a match. A match from like...
And they pulled it?
They did a match that was...
I think it depends on what you're
putting. Well, it was just a match from 1988 or something. Like a,
right.
18 seconds. And then they put a mark against them.
Well, Viacom went apeshit there for a while, pulling a bunch of stuff off.
But, you know, Paramount's got their own YouTube channel on there, and they actually post full movies on there.
For free?
Yes. So,
usually, when the companies put them out there, they make you want to pay a couple bucks.
Well, they got that, some things. I mean, there are some paid channels on YouTube, but, you know, fuck that. I'm not going to pay anything. But, anyway, it's, you go, magic of YouTube.
Yeah. Oh, and I did, I guess I will talk about one thing that I picked up today at Walmart.
Oh, boy. Go ahead.
Well, I'm not going to talk very long about it because I haven't watched it yet. But, as anybody knows that was a fan of this show, what are you doing, Steve?
Air quotes.
All right, whatever. Anybody that's a fan of this show will no doubt understand what I'm talking about here, is The Wonder Years. The Wonder Years has finally come out on DVD. I don't think it's come out in Blu-ray format, which is something Steve asked me. But the sets, though, that have all the episodes with all the original music, plus you get extra little things that you wouldn't really need to have, but like a yearbook and all this stuff. If you want to pay about $300, you can get that. But I just decided, heck, I'll just buy the sets when they come out, because I think Wonder Years went on for 5 or 6 seasons. Something like that. And if I have to pay $16 or so for each season, I guess I'll do that. But of course, even buying these separate DVD sets, you get all the original music. Joe Cocker singing with a little help from my friends at the beginning of the shows and all that. You don't have that music that was just stuck in there and doesn't seem to make sense to people that watched it when it was on television originally. So I got that, and it does have a few extras. I think it has a featurette, and it also has interviews with a lot of the principal people on the show. So I'll have to let y'all know later how that is, and I guess I'll turn it back over to Steve, since he's kind of just laid the phone down here for me to talk for a little bit.
Yeah, I just don't care about that. But anyway.
I'm sure you don't.
Black Phillip rules, by the way. I'm just going to put that out there.
I love Black Phillip.
Yeah. Don't your parents have a Phillip?
Mm-mm.
No, no more?
They don't have any goats anymore.
Oh, that's sad. I was going to try to hang out with Black...
White Phillip.
Yeah, he was white.
White Phillip's the good one. Yeah. White Phillip's the bad one.
But anyway. So we're going to watch. I wouldn't want to watch this for a while, but this copy, at least from the beginning, looks.
What is it that we're watching?
It's called Delirium from 1979.
Yeah, Delirium. And I have another movie called.
Yeah, but that's
Delirium.
Got Richard Harate.
Now, which one is the one that's got the sexual, all the sexual stuff?
That's it. That's the Italian, but they have an English version, and the Italian version's a little different. I might want to revisit that sometime, but anyway, this one's about, they hire a guy to be like a vigilante, but he starts ended up killing everybody, apparently.
He goes crazy and starts
So, we're going to check it out, and got another one I found that might be good, too, so.
But don't count on it, folks, because Steve
don't
probably,
count on it, folks.
Steve probably won't make it past this one. He'll be wanting to go to bed at, like, 7:30.
I just go to bed so I can get away from you.
Well, you probably do. I can't blame you. And guess what? I got a new stove today.
Yay, Dan.
I'm
gonna...
already cooking on it.
Wow.
Well, I think it's awesome.
Yeah. High fives, everybody.
Yeah. Sam says he wants dog biscuits and gravy.
Dog biscuits and gravy for Sunday breakfast.
What more?
Well, anyway.
Ah! Spit!
We'll be back after this.
Bye.
Black Phillip rules.
You left home, a little girl at home. It's not right to find yourself alone. In the night, you move on.
Right, I'm sure I deserve a reprimand. How are your mother and sisters?
That's why I'm here.
Anything wrong?
Lisa?
What's happened?
I can't explain it. She was in an accident a short while ago. Nothing important.
What did we watch last night? Did we record before Terror?
I think we did, but I think we watched stuff in between then.
Shit. Damn, I hate when I do that. Because I remember watching something last week, and then I need to write stuff down.
Yeah, you were doing that Letterboxd.
Yeah, no, I gotta do it. Evidently, I gotta keep doing it because I can't remember what I watched less than.
I can't anymore.
24 hours ago. I don't know. I know I fell asleep pretty good on.
I know.
Terror.
Well, I can talk about what I watched if you went to bed while you're thinking about what.
Yeah.
I didn't actually watch the shows, but I don't expect the quality of the Wonder Years shows to be that spectacular. Television shows never are, especially older ones. But I did watch most of the special features on it, and there was a highlight from the Wonder Years reunion. I don't know. I mean, I don't think this is coming out in any other format, but they had it in 2014. Probably if you don't want to just watch highlights, you'll probably have to buy that $300 set or something. They might have a whole disc with it all on there. But it was pretty interesting. They talked to Allie Mills that played the mom, and Dan Lauria played the dad, and that talked to all the kids, and talked to Josh Saviano. And for those of you that believe that urban legend about Josh Saviano, who played Paul and the Wonder Years, being Marilyn Manson, those things aren't true. So, and they talked to all of them, and then there were some separate interviews they did, and they did interviews with the creators, and like I said, I'll have to get back with everybody on the quality of the actual transfer of the shows, because I didn't get to that part. And Steve could care less.
Yeah, I do. I don't really care about that. But anyway, I watched, I don't know what it's called. It's like the Kung Fu trailer thing from Severin.
Yeah.
And it,
there's this big guy who does some of the commentary. They do commentary over the trailers, which I find...
He calls him the Harry Knowles.
Yeah, he's like a Harry Knowles kung fu guy. I mean, that's what he looks like. Big, long, gray beard. And he's not a... I guess he might be a ginger, but he's got a gray beard. But anyway, he just... He's the over-talker of these other two guys. But anyway, it's entertaining. Some of these are like really obscure kung fu movies, so it's a little weird. Every once in a while, I'll see one that I've seen or at least know about. They had like a brief history of kung fu movies, and then I didn't watch the other thing was the there. I guess there's a theater or something in Britain that called the Cube or something, and they were doing some kind of renovation. They found like a bunch of kung fu trailers underneath the stage or something. But I would say if you like trailer compilations and you also like the commentaries over them with people who know what's going on, I would say definitely worth the money.
They're interesting, but I just can't see, you know, spending a lot of money on them. And aren't some of those trailer compilations pretty expensive?
Yeah, but I mean, I'm not... Oh, I had to import some from Australia.
Yeah.
Those were $40-some a piece, at least. That was crazy. But there's a third volume that I read that didn't seem like very, very good purchase.
What were those called again?
I'll have to go look. It's Drive-In Craziness or something. I don't know. But they're good. They're good. So the DVDs you were talking about were called the Drive-In Delirium.
Oh, yeah, I thought there was a delirium in the...
And they're 12 hours each, plus they have like another section with TV spots, so it's like TV commercials. So
I think the ones that... Do all of them have commentary?
Those do not have commentary. Okay. So just I think the later 42nd Street Forever series had them. Trailer Wars, that's another one from Alamo Drafthouse kind of made
Doesn't
that.
Does the color correct my cock have? Which Steve got by accident. That was the one.
That's more of a mixtape than a...
Yeah, because there is some horror stuff mixed in with the porn.
Yeah. Yeah.
But it's like you're seeing horror stuff and all of a sudden you see a big penis or something.
Yeah,
you know?
I mean, it's nuts. But yeah, there's several... But if you're going to look into getting Drive-In Delirium, the third volume really just looks like a bunch of well-known movies, and that's like, well, who in the hell needs that? So I decided definitely to skip that one because, you know, they were expensive back
then.
They
would save his money.
And they're probably out of print now, but you could probably find them if you, you know, want to download them or something.
But they are a good way to... discover movies maybe you didn't know about or maybe hadn't heard a lot about. Sometimes Steve and I will see trailers for one. It makes us think, well, we want to see if we can find that movie and watch it.
What was that last one I got?
The last trailer compilation?
Yeah, I remember I got one.
Before the Kung Fu.
Yeah. Remember I found like Dracula Blows His Cool and Frankenstein on Campus or some crazy?
Yeah, I remember, but I don't remember what the title
was. Yeah, and I probably won't be able to find it, but... you want to come with me, Dana?
We'll go back to the...
We'll continue our conversation. It was a Blu-ray, but... Well, anyway...
Well, it was probably laying on top, because...
Well, we won't worry about it right now, but it's a shame.
There's old Truck Turner.
But I watched that 3D movie coming at you.
Which... I had heard about, and that it was entertaining. I mean, plot wise, Steve said it wasn't too bad of a movie plot wise, but it wasn't the greatest movie ever made.
But it is the most gimmicky 3D movie I've ever seen. And guess what? The 3D gets you at the very beginning.
Mm-hmm.
Like we went and seen a bunch of movies. I think we saw Godzilla, and one of the other movies. I can't remember, but any of the 3D.
We saw stuff in 3D that we didn't intend to go see.
Yeah,
in 3D.
Because that was the only showing or just the quickest showing.
We didn't want to wait till late in the afternoon to watch something.
But they, you know, you'll be watching it and you'll forget the movies in 3D. But in this movie, you are never going to forget it's in 3D because that's pretty much all it is. Everything, the background, the depth, everything is so. So clear in 3D.
I agree with Steve. There's something.
Trailer Trauma is the name of it.
Trauma.
Yeah, that's in the one that we found a bunch of stuff, and that's from Garbage House Pictures, which is a newer label.
But they, back to the 3D for a little bit, there are some things that should not, they shouldn't even bother with making them in 3D, because 3D was a gimmick. And I don't think every movie that's ever made needs that 3D gimmick.
Well, it's just another way so they can have two additional showings and charge more money for that other showing.
Yeah, because you have to pay more when you get those 3D glasses. Because no longer do they have the paper red and blue glasses.
No, I mean, those sucked anyway compared to these new ones. And like we have at the house, these are
the last movie
red and green. They're the passive 3D.
The last movie that I saw in 3D that had the paper red and blue glasses was Freddy's Dead.
Well,
and Freddy's Dead only used the gimmick in the last few minutes of that movie.
I mean, I can understand.
I was disappointed.
When you're making these movies that are so damn expensive, I mean, $100 million is not even that expensive anymore for some of these big movies. But then you put 3D in it. Those cost a lot more, but sometimes they'll do what's called a conversion. They'll do it after. They don't film it in 3D.
Yeah.
And then so...
That way they don't have to use those special cameras.
Yeah, that's got costs. But, I mean, the thing is, the 3D... There's only been a few movies. I think that one of the better movies in 3D is Dread that came out a few years ago. The Blu-ray of that looks incredible.
Oh, yeah.
I think that's... I mean, I'll
Didn't
be...
Didn't we watch that
yeah,
in 3D?
Yeah, but I'm not sure if it's... I'd have to rewatch it to see, but I don't think anything has got the 3D as this movie.
That guy looks like I don't mean to interrupt, Steve, but he's got UFC stuff on. And that guy looks like he ought to be in a video game. It looks almost like...
He is in a video game.
Yeah, but this is not a video game.
But... coming at you, it's a Western. A guy's soon-to-be wife was kidnapped, and he's trying to get her back. And like I say, they throw every gimmick. I would say
every time something
5 to 10 minutes, you're going to get a gimmick at least to remind you you're watching 3D.
You've got falling coins. You've got
snakes coming at
stakes
and rats. Coins, coin. My favorite 3D gag was the horse eating watermelon.
I didn't get to see that. I saw a couple of things.
I didn't even know horses like watermelon, so I'm amazed. I learned something today. But the movie on Amazon's only like $18, so I mean, if you're interested in have a 3D TV and a PS3 or 4 or something like that, I'd definitely suggest getting it.
Back when I was buying the stereoscopic 3D stuff, which was a lot, that in the grand scheme of things, that was a very extremely expensive alternative. But at the time, it was the only thing that worked for me. And this girl was going through credit on credit cards like a crazy person at that time.
Did you wear your glasses when you watched it, or could you just...
Yeah.
You had to wear your glasses?
Well... I mean, I guess I wouldn't have to, but these things were big enough where they would go over the top of my
head. I just thought it was like watching a movie through some kind of like a paper tube or something.
Well,
you got a big pipe in front of you, and you got a movie at the end of the pipe playing.
The first version of these that I got, and actually Aaron and Wes, I bought them a copy, a set of glasses. These were not the super expensive ones. These were the $30, $40 set. That's what I had at first. And you hook those into a little box, and the box hooked into either your TV or your VCR. Or I think when I started out, I was using the VCR. There were VHS tapes that you could get. And I got some of the most god-awful movies. But the 3D was great. Like, there was this really super low budget zombie film. There was, what was the other one? I thought Bloody Murder was like, no, maybe it wasn't Bloody Murder. I don't know. But it was something like that. And it was in 3D, and there was another one. But then I started getting, like, the stuff that came out in 3D in the early 80s. Like, the Friday the 13th Part 3 in 3D, Jaws 3D. And then I got Silent Madness, which is probably one that a lot of people haven't, well, maybe they have heard of it. Had you heard of Silent Madness?
Not before I downloaded it.
Oh, okay.
The VHS rip, and I mean, I just thought it was really bad. Mm-hmm.
It was made to cash in on
that.
Yeah,
but they had like a cartoon. Didn't they have a cartoon axe or knife?
It was a cartoon, I don't know what it was. A little hand axe or what. You know, a mini one.
A hatchet.
He threw it, and it comes toward the screen, and as it's flipping, it turns cartoonish looking.
Yeah, very cartoonish.
Then there was something that came out not long after the stereoscopic 3D that was called Living 3D, where they took movies that were not made in the 3D format and they made them 3D. I still have the disc for that. I have one for The Evil Dead, which it didn't really concentrate so much on stuff coming out of the screen as immersing yourself in the film, which I thought was pretty cool. But Steve's not a big fan of these glasses.
They're not glass. I mean, they're more like goggles or something.
These are, but the first ones I got were more like what you got with the TV.
And they just really... And you feel like you're in VR or something.
Yeah, well, I think that's what they were headed towards, but that, unfortunately, that company, eyeglasses.com, the letter I and then a hyphen and then glasses.com was where I got all this stuff, but unfortunately, I think they went out of business. I think the 3D TVs and the 3D Blu-ray players have just put that.
Well, Samsung stopped making 3D TVs.
Oh, they did.
Yeah, they're not gonna. All the new stuff they're making, it doesn't have 3D in it, I don't buy every movie that comes out in 3D because of the expense for one thing, but you know, there's some. I think the Dread movie, I could watch it either way, but the 3D is definitely
enhances it
because it's so gorgeous. The visuals are really spectacular. Well, in some of those, because most of the effects that are really good are the ones that are taking this drug called slow-mo, and it basically slows down everything, and then we see the slowing down and everything. It's really cool.
That's what these filmmakers or whoever makes the decision about whether it's 3D or not, they need to take that as they need to think, is this going to enhance the movie? If it's not, let's not do it.
Well, they don't care. I mean, most of these action movies...
Well, it's all about money.
Any of these action... Not action movies. Well, some of them. Action movies and some of the science fiction.
And horror movies.
Some, but not a lot. But, like, I think Prometheus... I really don't think that 3D really did much for it. I think I saw it in 3D, and it was like, really... Didn't really pay attention to it till near the end.
Well, do you think that the 3D enhanced the My Bloody Valentine remake? Do you think that's what made that popular?
I don't know. I wouldn't say it made it popular, but I thought it was... I'm trying to remember if I saw that in the theater. I think I did, but...
Did you see it in 3D?
I think so.
I wanted to. Actually,
we can see it because we... I don't have the 3D Blu-ray, but you can just convert it to 3D, and it pretty much will look like it. And there's some really good effects in it. I'm pretty sure I did see it in 3D, come to think of it, because I remember certain parts of it.
For some reason, I didn't get to go to the theater and see that one. And not that I was...
You can get the 3D Blu-ray on eBay. I think that's really the only place to get it.
I think
cheap.
I have it.
You have the 3D Blu-ray... you gotta have the 3D Blu-ray. They do
they did give you, they had the red and the blue.
They had the red and blue.
Yeah, that sucks.
Which does suck. It
doesn't
work.
Yeah, that's ridiculous. And nowadays, that's ridiculous. I think that's the last movie I've ever seen that released any of the... There is a real 3D Blu-ray. That's just the Blu-ray.
I am mistaken because... Actually, that was the last 3D movie I saw with the red and blue glasses. The next 3D movie I probably saw at the theater was when me and Heather went to see Piranha.
That was good 3D.
And we saw it in the good 3D.
Yeah, that's...
We went to the IMAX.
I mean, I can't say 100% that it suffered from all this stuff. I guess, you know, the gags can get old, but... It's the
gag with Eli Roth was awesome.
Yeah, the depth of the movie coming at you looked really good. Like I say, it's pretty much a standard kind of revenge western kind of thing, but all the 3D gimmicks and stuff make it pretty entertaining to watch. So if you're interested in it, I would probably look into getting it if you have a 3D TV and a player, that is. Mm-hmm. So hopefully by the time we do this again, I'll have my Tenebrae Blu-ray, or I'll be crying.
Yeah, because I'm going to watch that. Is this going to be the quality of the version we watched?
I hope it's up to it. Or
because that was awesome.
Well, I'm sure it'll be probably either better or comparable. And
which people will probably disagree with me, but that's probably right up there at the top of my list of favorite Argento movies.
It's in the middle, but I do like it. And plus, this one's got it's got a documentary on Giallo, so that kind of got me into it. And plus, you know, I don't know. I like to have all the good stuff of Argento.
Some people go whole hog over Suspiria, which I would even put Deep Red before I would put Suspiria.
Deep Red to me has been, you know, it's probably the first Argento movie I've ever seen. And I think I saw Cat of Nine Tails on afternoon TV because they used to show afternoon movies. But
probably for me, my top three would be Deep Red, then Tenebrae, and then Suspiria.
Mm-hmm.
Which people would say, oh, you're crazy.
But, yeah, I'll be waiting for that, so we'll see. So, we'll be out of here.
Bye.
I'm going with, I'm going to go take a nap with Black Phillip.
Bye.
I think you're confusing nice and evil again.